Big Wednesday podcast, Thomas Paine. We're an American band. We're a traveling band. Going from town to town the last 4 years, covering FBI, Department of Justice, corruption. Man, it's been a hell of a ride. Everybody is convinced now that everyone's going to jail, and the big podcast today will be breaking news, a reality check, for sure. From one of the definitive sources on DOJ FBI intelligence in the country, and that's us. Whether you like us or hate us, our record speaks for itself. It really does. So we'll be getting into some things momentarily. Grand Funk Railroad. Man, we had a big night last night coming off the More Pain show. And this morning on the Pain in the Morning show podcast. Of course, the More Pain show is for subscribers only on patreon.com/truepundit and subscribestar.com/truepundit, the subscriber only area. And we appreciate the support on those platforms. It goes a long way. If you're not on there yet, jump on there. Nose around, get to see the video podcast, The Pain in the Morning, the 2 hour plus, 2.5 hour plus More Pain show. We're always up to something. That's for damn sure. Today we're going to tackle a few things. But first, let me say we appreciate the support on those platforms. And we're an American band. And on Tuesday into Wednesday, very busy around here. Very, very busy, as you know. And that's kind of the way it was set up when I was, before I worked at a daily newspaper. I spent a long time working at weekly newspapers. I really like the grind of a weekly. So I have this set up, basically, True Pundit now, like the grind of a weekly, and not quite exactly the same, a weekly newspaper and with the podcast and everything, but it's a good groove to fall into. And it's been working for us. Our numbers are up, and thanks to you folks. And we appreciate it, as I said, and we'll keep bringing the heat. It's crunch time, and we need all journalists, all hands on deck. Real journalists. Real journalists, not these grifters out there. You can read between the lines. Current events. Everybody thinks they're Daniel Pearl now, suddenly. Jesus. It really is a disgrace. I'm talking about the right wing. They're not journalists. So let's just move on from that. We'll go back to that another time. Everybody's so fired up from Friday. We have some folks doing construction outside the windows here of my little studio today where I'm at. It's Wednesday, and this is the Big Wednesday podcast. So if you hear some noise in the background, hey, it's guys out working, and God bless them. You can't besmirch somebody for trying to hustle, doing some construction work on the roads, whatever. Hey, if they can put some money in their pocket and put some food on the table for the family and we have to weather a little bit of background noise, we can live with that. That's the way it is. God bless those folks. Keep working hard. Last Friday, Kevin Kleinsmith, former FBI lawyer, was charged. The first, people are calling it the first domino to fall from federal prosecutor John Durham's investigation. Durham was appointed last year by William Barr, the Attorney General, to review the origins of the FBI's investigation into Russia interference in the 2016 election. That will be the theme today. And Durham is under pressure to perform. That's the theme. Now, we're going to take a look at Kevin Kleinsmith. Last night, we on the show, we dubbed him Patsy Kleinsmith. I just can't get over that. It's so funny. A lot of hype last week about the plea of Kleinsmith. He's in court right now as we speak. In a plea hearing. If you've listened to the show before, you understand I have spelled out how it works when you plead out. Take it from a fucking an expert. Okay. All these people on TV don't know what the hell they're talking about. I listen to them. I say, my God, how long have you been doing this? People in the media have been doing this 20, 30 years covering the court system, and they still don't know how things work. It's mind-boggling. Of course, when you have to go through it yourself, you tend to remember a little bit better in detail how things work. So I listened since last Friday. All these people in the media say this Kleinsmith plea, definitely a low, 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 low-level plea. I mean, people are building this up as a high-level plea. It's not. And Kleinsmith has only worked at the FBI for 4 years. That's nothing. That's like a rookie. So we'll see how it plays out. But folks think it's going to open some kind of floodgates. I listen to Hannity and Fox and all these people. By the way, they've been wrong about so much stuff so often when it comes to FBI and DOJ in the last 4 years since we started Troop on it. They're wrong all the time. But what they do is they move the goalposts on you. Oh, something's going to happen. Nothing happens. Oh, something's going to happen now. Nothing happens. Something's going to happen. Nothing happens. The amazing thing is you guys are still watching. I don't get it. Well, there are psychological studies where people actually enjoy being lied to. If the lies make them feel comfortable. Something that they want to hear. There's studies. So that's why I can't figure it out, because it defies logic, because it's not logical. And scientific studies have proven that. Psychological studies have proven that. People like to be lied to. I'm not going to fucking do it. I'm not going to play the lie. I could be making a lot of money. A lot of money. With our media outfit now. If I was doing that. And there's guys making a lot of money in the right-wing media. The big names. Household names. They're all lying to you. Every fucking single one of them. I'd be happy to debate anyone that has the guts to sit down with me, and I no problem pointing out what they've lied about. You know why? Because we know it all. We background all these people. That's why nobody messes with us. We got files on everybody. J. Edgar Hoover style. That's how I was taught coming up. What's this guy's story? Oh, let's find out. Let's find out, because if they want to do some kind of alignment, you have to be protected to make sure you don't get burnt. So, one of the reasons. Let's get back into climbs. Well, we're going to be breaking some news today on Mr. Barr and his DOJ and Mr. Durham in this whole investigation. So, play a little Under Pressure. There's a lot of calls for Barr to wrap up this Durham report. It's funny. I originally thought he was going to be handing down indictments, not a report, before the election. It remains to be seen what this guy's going to do. And there's all kind of speculation. And most of it goes against the grain of what I've been saying. Folks are familiar with what I've been saying. We'll testify that I've been very consistent for the last 18 months, 2 years about this. And everything I said has been dead on. Said if anybody was going to get jammed up on this, it would be some low-level patsy. And that's exactly what Kleinsmith is. I mean, there are people out there saying this is a big deal. I don't think it's a big deal. First of all, He's pleading guilty on a 1001 charge. That's all you got him on? If he... It's something else. For us, I have to tell you, before we get into the meat of this stuff, and I'm going to be quick and dirty today because I'm fucking wiped out a little bit. We've been busting our asses here. Working the phones and working the mic. That's what we do. But, you know, it does take a toll on you. I'm not a young buck anymore. Thank God I was more easily manipulated when I was younger. Now, we'll take a real pro. And we're going to talk about a real pro today. We're going to talk about a real pro who's manipulated a lot of people. And that's William Barr through his career. And raise some points on whether he's doing that right now, in fact. I think we'll make a interesting podcast for the next 45 minutes or so. Stuff you're not going to hear anywhere else, that's for sure. I think myself here and many of the people that have worked on this project for the last 4 years uncovering Justice Department corruption and FBI corruption, we've been waiting for guys like Comey and McCabe and Strzok and Page, Priestip, the list goes on, another four or five people, top brass of the FBI, waiting for them to be put in a position to plead out or face indictment. Klein Smith certainly is not a household name, and nor should he be. He's a low-level guy who played a bit role in this whole thing, and now, so far, he's a patsy. And I know people have high expectations, and more things are going to come out of Durham. Let's get into that stuff right now. Some shocking news we're getting from inside. Justice Department guys filtering through D.C. out to other folks, and it's not good. It's simply not good, but that's okay. As we're Americans, we'll take the news like big men and big women, adults, and we do our best to adapt on the fly. So, talked about it last night on the More Pain show, a little bit, touched on it, but then we developed it since last night further for more details because I wanted more details. Where we talked about some alarming things about this investigation so far that not a lot of people know. I actually don't think anybody knows it except for the people we talked on the show last night. That's a few thousand people, I guess, that have access to that show. And it probably didn't resonate with them because there weren't as many details last night as we have now. So let's get into that. You're busy, I'm busy, so let's stick and move on this and just start spitting out some raw intel and a little bit of analysis. And then we'll zip this sucker up and you can go about your business because we already had a podcast today and I want to get this information out and then we'll do a story or two on True Pundit to spread it around. And I ask you guys to spread it too. Spread the podcast around. I'm told by some of our trusted fellows, I don't ask that enough. Actually, I hardly ask it to share stuff and leave us ratings and things like that or reviews. So, yeah, if you can do that, if you can spread it around, we need all the help we can get, man, because every time we turn around, we're getting shafted on distribution from these social media platforms, as you are as well. So the more the merrier. If you find it useful, share it. And we'll have a link on my Twitter page at some point today for the stories involved with this or that come out of this podcast that you can share those as well. The voice is shot. Can you hear it? It's okay. Let's get right into the FBI stuff real quick. Regarding Durham, there's a lot of information going on and coming in and out of folks in justice. And we've talked about all different types of misinformation and all different kinds of people in journalism that are trying to trick you and misinform you. We've heard from guys on the inside, there are 5 or 6 instances, smoking guns or close to smoking guns, that implicate Joe Biden and de facto his boss at the time, Barack Obama, in this spying scandal that's front row and center now, the Russian interference in the 2016 election and the FBI's FISA and FBI spying. Guys are saying that these guys are implicated, specifically Biden, by the way, who happens to be running for president of the United States. You wouldn't know that he had any role in this in the media. No one's taking a real close look at it, even in the right wing. So that's what we're going to do now. Did you ever see that movie, The Untouchables? Kevin Costner, about Elliot Ness. Biden and Obama are the new untouchables. Okay. Durham's probe has been under the direction from justice in D.C. to don't pursue anything with these two guys. And that's shocking. And that's breaking news right there. No one has done a story on that. No one has heard this from the inside. I think we have the best sources in the country on this, and that's what we've heard. There's a lot of upset guys because there are some rocks that were turned over that implicate Biden had knowledge of this in some kind of a direct role. And that's based on, folks, that's based on testimony that was drudged up from interviews and interrogations with other people during the process. But here's the thing. Durham can't do anything with it. He's under direction from justice in D.C., just like Berman, who was the U.S. attorney in the Southern District of New York, just like he got in a fight with Barr over Ghislaine Maxwell, right? Because justice in D.C. dictates certain things to these investigators. Guys like Durham, other people. They say, focus on this. Don't focus on this so much. Don't focus on this at all. That kind of thing. So what we're looking at is, don't focus on this at all. What falls under that? Biden and Obama. So even if you find stuff that's interesting, that could lead to other things, could lead to more evidence against these guys, don't pursue it. If you find smoking guns, put them on a shelf. I don't want to see it. Fuck it. Barr didn't want anything developed on these two guys. And the folks inside are saying there's no chance in the world anything happens to these two guys. Even though they found 5 or 6 pretty good nuggets that they could develop and bring these guys in for interviews as well. No go. You know what that's called? According to the folks we talked to, de facto immunity. De facto immunity. So it's not like a former immunity deal where these guys get out of jail for free, right? But it's de facto immunity. They're told, lay off these guys. Now, as an investigator who's worked a number of cases, these are the guys you want. These are the guys you work your way up the flagpole to try to get. You don't leave them alone. And that information is disturbing, to say the least. So basically, Biden and Obama and this whole thing, and you know damn well that they're implicated in this, because there's a growing body of evidence that proves that. And there's even more circumstantial evidence that points to that as well. It could be developed. Right? Let's look over this guy today. All right? Klein Smith. He was providing legal advice to investigators working on the Russian investigation. He was FBI for 4 years. A low-level guy. Now he's apologizing. He deeply regrets his actions. He never intended to mislead investigators. Blah, 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 right? If you're going to, look, if you're going to do an investigation, it's very simple. You want to work your way up to the big dogs. Well, the big dogs here, the potential big dogs are Joe Biden as vice president and Barack Obama as president. Now you have, we're going to get into this later, why I think this is happening. And it's not going to make your day, but we're going to say it anyhow because I think that history is going to reflect very poorly on all the folks out there in the media who are pumping this up as everyone's going to jail. When I explain this to you, as I've done for the last X amount of minutes, so far, things should start to take shape a little better for you to make sound decisions and balanced decisions. Even though everybody's trying to pound this into your head that something's going to happen, for four years, nothing's happened. Maybe it's time to start thinking outside the box instead of inside the box of the media. Right? They tell you how to think and why stuff is going to be happening. But it doesn't happen. So now you got to step outside the box. Look at it from another angle. Try to make sense of it. So here's what we have. Let me get these notes on. I actually made some notes. Between testimony from some witnesses, fact witnesses that have been interviewed, allegations, and some documents. That doesn't include emails of President Obama. They haven't had access to that. But there's human testimony that shows that Biden was specifically involved. Did I say specifically? I'm losing it. Specifically involved in a lot of this stuff. And talk about de facto, that implicates President Obama as well, because you think, if you've seen Biden, you think he comes up with this stuff on his own? I don't think so. But Barr says, hands off that. So we have now a similar situation that we had during the Clinton investigation, Clinton Foundation investigation. The Clinton Foundation, and this is recent. This was supposedly under Huber. So this isn't going back 10 years. This is recent. This is months ago. Clinton Foundation investigators, we know, I know, because I've talked to some of them, work the same case, basically. You work it bottom up. You try to get all the way to the top by working to the from the bottom up. Put together a great case. They could have indicted any one of the Clintons, Chelsea, Bill, Hillary, on any number of things, as well as people implicated in officers such and employees of the Clinton Foundation that were part of massive fraud. They had these guys six ways to Sunday. The investigators. And that's a double prong investigation. That's the FBI and that's IRS CID, Criminal Investigation Division. Two different investigations and they were not working together. That information made it to justice, got squashed. Didn't get squashed by Eric Holder. It didn't get squashed by Loretta Lynch. That got squashed by Bill Barr. And you have a lot of frustrated investigators who are scratching their head trying to figure out what the hell happened. Why did I just put a year plus of my life into this? And let me tell you something about investigators when they get... If they think they got a career case, they put it all in. Because one, they think they can get a promotion, they can get out. It's a great feather in their cap. And perhaps most importantly, they love the chase. That's why they got into the job. And what's better to chase these guys? These guys are major trophies. Like trophy, it's like game hunting against these guys. You want to bag President of the United States, Vice President of the United States, Secretary of State, former president of the United States, Bill Clinton? Of course. Of course you do. But we're finding out that when this information goes up the flagpole and these investigators work it up, it gets squashed. Now we're finding that out that is happening from a supposed conservative GOP attorney general. That doesn't make any sense. Wouldn't that individual, Bill Barr, wouldn't he be more prone to prosecute on the other side? So that's what's throwing a lot of people off, because they think, oh, well, there's something bigger going on. He's saving this up. This Klein Smith guy is working for the feds now, and he's diming people out, right? And there's going to be a big ta-da. They're going to pull out. Let me get a drink real quick. Barr's going to pull out the tablecloth a couple weeks before the election, and nothing's going to fall off the table. And what's going to be on the table are more indictments against guys like Comey and McCabe. That's the big sale in the media. That's what the media is selling. That's what the Foxes of the world are selling. That's what all their contributors are selling on their web pages and their podcasts. When you look at it through the prism of Justice, Department of Justice, working for justice, working investigations, most of it doesn't simply add up. In fact, it points to quite the opposite. So we're going to get into that right now. And we're getting on a roll here. I'm starting to get my legs under me. It's a while to wake up. But we're rolling now. So this is breaking news, and it's national, what I've just said. That basically, Biden and Obama have a de facto immunity deal in place from William Barr, who is a GOP, supposed GOP, cabinet member of a GOP administration in the White House. Stunning. It's stunning. But you know what? It really does dovetail with what he did in the Clinton Foundation investigation. And you know, it's funny. Somebody said, well, what did he do? Well, why don't we want details. Well, first of all, I've given you a lot of details previously. But there's some things you can't even talk about. Because when you talk to guys, they say, don't. This is off the record and it's not for attribution. That means you don't. Can't. It's for background. They go, this is off the record. It's for background, right? That's the good stuff. But you can't share it. So there are things I know. When I come here and I talk on the mic, it's not a crapshoot. When I say something and I put my name behind it, or we put our reputation behind it, it means we're getting really good intel. And we feel comfortable saying this. Comfortable enough to be out in front of everybody else in the media. So I'm saying, fuck everybody else in the media. You're full of shit. This is what's really happening. And we're putting our weight behind that. So there's a lot of homework that is done before you get to that point. But I'm comfortable saying that now because the information we're getting, the people who have given us this information many times are just spot on time and time again for years, just years. It's not even now it's getting ridiculous. Track record is like off the charts. So I have to tell you, it's a real head scratcher, this whole thing, because normally, if you're going to investigate somebody, you see where the investigation goes. You don't make predeterminations that this guy's off the chessboard, this guy's off the chessboard. So you're taking two of your biggest targets off the chessboard. What the fuck? Where's this investigation supposed to go then? I'll tell you where it's supposed to go. It's geared only toward small dudes, low-level guys, the Klein Smiths of the world. If you're taking these two, this would be the king and the queen. You're taking that off the chessboard. Then what are you playing for? If you're on the other side, what are you playing for? The two key pieces are gone. They can't be touched. They have a halo. Barr has put a halo over them. They can't be touched. So anything you're working the case now is low-level, mid-management, and probably, I'd say it's a crapshoot. Guys like Comey and even McCabe is a crapshoot at this point from what we're hearing from a lot of people. That's number one. Number two, there's a time factor. The clock's running out. We'll get into that if we have time today, speaking of time, if we have time, we'll get to that. But we've talked about it previously, and it's not rocket science, on the expiration of the statutes that are involved in this case. If we have time, I'll tackle that at least briefly. I'll try to tackle it at least briefly, but there's a lot of talk about. So if you're investigating someone, you don't take people off the board before the investigation gets rolling because you don't know exactly what you're going to find. And also, it affects the morale of the people who are investigating. People who are pissed off now. Now the information is filtering through that these guys are untouchable. When, in fact, as I've said, maybe I start out a little slow. That's okay. You got to warm up sometimes. As I've said, there's information and some evidence developed already that implicates these guys. So why wouldn't you follow it? It sends a really chilling message to the guys inside the FBI that these guys are off the table. It really does. I mean, if I was investigating, right, I'd say, what's my upside here? What am I going to get? Another couple low-level guys? Big deal. On a 1001 charge like Klein Smith was charged with? Big deal. I mean, Papadopoulos had a 1001 charge. What, did he go to prison for 13 days? That's what I'm busting my ass for? That's what I'm missing family events for? That's what I'm missing time with my kids for? A 1001 charge? Really? All this stuff the inspector general found. All different kind of problems. And that's the indictment they have? Well, it's not even an indictment. It's just a guilty plea. Is there even a grand jury? These are troubling questions. I think we're answering them right now as we speak. As an investigator, you want a shot at the guys at the top. Otherwise, what's the point? If the mastermind of the thing you're investigating is protected and you can't get them. This is like a bad Marvel movie. It's like Kingpin. You can't get the Wilson Fisk. He's insulated. And now we're finding out that Biden and Brennan, well, Brennan, we might get to him. Might get to him later. Might. But Biden and Obama, let me correct myself, Biden and Obama are insulated. And Brennan was a Freudian slip. It just zipped right in there. He might be in the same boat too. They're insulated. Why? When I talk about protection rackets, folks, that our current Justice Department and FBI is nothing more than a protection racket for the elites, the rich and famous. And time again, I've been proven right. But more importantly, Biden is running for president. He's running for president. So why does he get some de facto immunity deal? This is the new untouchables. Anybody who's really elite in the government, they're untouchable. Durham is taking orders from DOJ, from Barr, just like you saw in New York, in the Southern District. Barr runs the show. He says what is what. If you disagree with him, like Jeffrey Berman did, Barr puts out a press release that he thanks you for your service, and you've been a great U.S. attorney for the Southern District, and Berman didn't even know what the hell he was talking about. What are you talking about? I'm not resigning. Only Trump can tell me to beat it. And there's a dust-up, right? Barr runs the show. And you can bet damn well from what we heard about Berman, if Berman runs his mouth, Barr will clip him at the legs, just like you already clipped him at the legs. He's still in justice. But now he's been isolated because he went against the machine, the Barr machine. Things just start taking shape here, folks. This is being run more like a cartel than a law enforcement agency. It really is. And the information we're talking about really dovetails with everything I've spoken about before and explained before. About protection rackets, about how these guys operate, they protect each other. And we'll talk about later why. Why people ask me, why is that? And it's literally a cultural thing that we'll get into. But you have to start to wonder, okay, is there anything that's going to happen to McCabe? Is there anything that's going to happen to Comey and the top guys like you mentioned? If it's hands off the vice president, what's going on? McCabe, Comey, they're writing books. They have media deals. Multi-million dollar media deals. McCabe has a media job. Lisa Page has a media job now. And the list goes on and on and on. The other folks are practicing law or they're working for Fortune 500 companies. They don't seem very concerned about an indictment. It's just amazing that you would take your top targets and remove them from the chessboard at a time when the evidence is pointing to the fact that they were involved, like the cat's paw. You take them off the chessboard. As I mentioned earlier, I can almost see this happening with a corrupt Justice Department under a guy like Eric Holder. I mean, I worked under Eric Holder. Also worked against him. It was a coup. We'll get into that some other time. But Barr? Doesn't make any sense. Why is Barr protecting the Clintons? Why is Barr protecting Joe Biden? Why is Barr protecting Obama? And you have to ask yourself a very simple question. What has Bill Barr done since he became Attorney General? Think about this. What has he done that would improve Donald Trump's chances of getting reelected? I'll take a drink of water while you think about it. Excuse me. Throat's taking a little bit of a beating. You'll be thinking about that for a long time because he hasn't done anything. In fact, the moves he's made are quite to the detriment of the president, the president's chances of getting reelected. Now, I don't know whether President Trump recognizes that or not. But he better start looking around. I don't understand why Barr's now crossing party lines when you have a GOP White House, GOP administration. And he's letting these guys off the hook. Maybe it has something to do with the CIA. You have to be careful because I don't want to get yanked out of my house again. I talked about last night. Now when it comes to the Justice Department and FBI, you know, Pink Floyd's song, Comfortably Numb, that's my theme song. Like nothing surprises me. I'm an even keel. I don't go up. I don't go down. Just comfortably numb no matter what. If there's good news, I'm comfortably numb. If there's bad news like this, I'm comfortably numb because after 4 years of covering the Justice Department, nothing surprises me. And everything we worked for here, I have to tell you, true pundit, has turned out to a major disappointment, a major letdown because we worked fairly hard to expose corruption. In the Justice Department and FBI. And the only thing really has happened is they got rid of some of these people. They fired them. Yes, they've been publicly disgraced, but they've basically gotten away with everything. In fact, they've profited. It's insane. A lot of people are out there breaking their ass, following the laws. Even like, I have to wear my mask, man. I got to do this. I got to stay 6 feet away. These guys are shattering the Constitution and profiting wildly. We're not talking about like they're making $100,000. These guys are lined up to make millions for the rest of their career. But it's a blow to law-abiding Americans everywhere. It's also a blow to journalists who have gone to great lengths to expose these guys at the risk of their own personal safety many times. And it doesn't appear that all that work is going to pay any major dividends, other than the fact that they got rid of some of these people and they've been disgraced. But as I said, they're making more money now. Their household names, they're applauded by half the country and lauded. I tell you, no matter how long you've been in this, you learn something every day. I guess I just didn't recognize it at the time because I had been out of journalism for a long time. But coming back into it, now I have perspective in the last 4 years, four plus 1 month we've been doing this. I didn't understand it at the time, but it's very eye-opening now. The fact that the level of corruption is so deep, it doesn't even fucking matter who's running the Justice Department. They're always going to protect each other at this point because they're so corrupt and they've committed so many atrocities against U.S. citizens, civil liberties, and Jesus, who knows what else they're up to. Doesn't even matter who's running the FBI. People complain about Ray. I complain about Ray. Complaining about Barr now. They're all sentinels. They're all part of it. No matter what party. As I said, I expressed some dismay about Barr being a Republican. It doesn't even matter when you really break it down. It's so far gone. And when you look at the DOJ and the FBI like that, it starts to make sense. It's depressing. I know. I talked about it last night. People are going to call me Debbie Downer. Oh, you're always down, and this is depressing. That's the way it is. And I share your disappointment. It's a massive letdown for us as well. And while things could change on a dime, and you could see people start dropping, you know, as far as indictments, I wouldn't put money on it. Based on the information that we're talking about right now, if you take two of the main targets off the board with some kind of a loose immunity deal, get out of jail free card. So I thought it was important to lay these things out. And if, obviously we're not finished yet, but just like we have with COVID-19, we've gone against the grain of the media, and everything we've said about this hoax has been right on the money. This is another hoax. This is like a hope porn hoax perpetrated by the media, perpetrated by Barr. And we're going to get into that in a minute because Barr's no dummy. He is no dummy. It's important to let people know that what they're being told now by the media time and time again, who profit from lying to them, that there appears to be no basis whatsoever with what's going on in justice. As far as, I think a lot of people expected Biden and Obama to be implicated in this, and rightly so. The fact that they're off the table now, it's insane. And nobody else has reported this. We're going to be the only people reporting it. We're breaking this. They are off the table. I have to have loyalty to the guys inside. We appreciate the information we get from them. But I don't want to put anybody in danger, start spouting out details. Also on this, as well as what we know on the Clinton investigation, the Clinton Foundation investigation. And what's going on? I'm not poking around in the dark. We obviously are coming from a position of strength here when I tell you this. Now, if I'm wrong, hey, great. I'll be the first guy to stand up and say, yeah, I was wrong. I'd love to be wrong on this. It's great that these guys are getting locked up, but we're coming back down to earth here. I will be the first guy to stand up. I don't have a problem with being wrong. This isn't about ego or being wrong. This is about trying to get the best information from the inside into your hands. If we could tell people everything we know, exactly what we know, what's going on, they can make their own informed decisions on their own time with their own research. It's about a balance. There needs to be a counterbalance of the bullshit that's flying out of the media and the hope porn and the promises. It's very dangerous to promise indictments on anybody. The U.S. justice system is so fragile, it can change on a dime. It can change an entire indictment with a phone call from a lawyer, with a plea behind the scenes. Somebody, you know, so it's It's always dangerous. I see this on Fox and these guys, something's going to happen, something's going to happen. Guys, they've been saying this for 4 years. And I know, personally, with the Clinton Foundation, with the stuff now we're hearing at Durham, the guidelines Durham has to do, the information is literally fucking frightening. What has happened with a top-down guy like Barr dictating what happens and how an investigation should be guided. And it literally freaks me out a little bit because I never thought that it was this corrupt. And guess what? It also freaks out the people who are working the cases, the people inside working the cases. Their heads are spinning, too. Parallels with the investigators from the Clinton Foundation who broke their ass. Many of them passed up promotions to better places. For instance, I'll give you specific examples. What's this guy talking about? He doesn't give any examples. But to weigh everything, right? To weigh everything. The task force investigating the Clinton Foundation at CID IRS was run out of Newark. Okay? Some of those guys were promoted to go work in D.C. That's a big bump. Money and prestige. They declined the promotions to stay and work on this case in Newark on the task force. It was very quiet, hush, hush, hush task force. They wanted to see it through. They thought that they had the Clintons by, you could say, balls, short hairs, whatever. Whatever slang you want to use. And they did. And they were convinced that there would be indictments, high-level indictments. They made personal sacrifices in their career. What happened? Nothing. Those people are stunned and dismayed and disgruntled. Now, you've seen the same parallels happen in the FBI when it comes to this Durham investigation, the fact that top targets are untouchable. They're off the board. I need another drink. Bear with me. People say, well, if that's the case with Barr, he can just be replaced after the 2020 election coming up. If he's not doing anything, Trump will realize that and replace him. Well, that is a possibility. If Barr leaves, that's one way to replace him. You think Trump's just going to fire him out of nowhere? I don't think that's not even on the table. And it doesn't seem enough time to me, by the way, based on the statute of limitations, which is 5 years federal, that clock's already running out. And if they bring in a new AG after that, that clock is gone in the spring, so to speak, of 2021. No, not enough time to put major cases together for that. So you can make an argument that Barr's running out the clock. Very, very slick operation to run out the clock. If you think you're going to slide Barr out and slide somebody else in, the clock gets run out. These guys have all the angles covered. If this is an operation, we'll talk about that shortly. I don't say this often, but I want to be wrong. I really want to be wrong on this stuff. Am I? I don't think so. Based on the information we have, really high level info and intel. Now, again, anything could change. I've said that. Acknowledge that. But as we sit right now, it's not looking good. And the timing of this is also highly suspect from somebody who's been on both sides of the table, planning these kind of things and also countering them. The Kleinsmith guilty plea slides in right under the wire. So if you want to look at this through the political prism of an operation, it really is such a great operation. We talked about this last night on the Moore Payne Show on patreon.com/truepundit and subscribestar.com/truepundit. We talked about this. I was talking about when you look at the schematics of it, if this is set up as an operation to run out the clock, one, to protect not only guys like Obama and Biden, but Comey, etc. Okay? If it is a protection operation, which really is turning out to be. Let's turn the table real quick and take a look at what I'm talking about. It's very interesting. You have to take a look at the landscape. This Kleinsmith plea deal comes in right before the election, basically. Because we really are right before the election. Throw everybody a little bit of red meat, get them pumped up, think that there's more stuff coming. That's a misdirection in itself. And Barr is a pro. He's been around. And if you want to take a look at it from the other side, that a guy like Barr is trying to do something nefarious. This is such a well-organized, well-oiled scheme. I said that. It's a thing of beauty. It really is. From a planning standpoint. If Barr's done this on purpose with the help of whomever, it's a masterstroke. He came in. I originally thought, we talked with some people when he came in, and we talked about it previously on those shows I mentioned on those platforms, that Barr might be on some kind of vision quest, on a mission to right his wrongs. He's getting up there in years. I've been on a vision quest. I've been on a mission to right my wrongs, and I know a lot of other guys who get out of being intel contractors and being sworn agents for FBI, DEA. They did things during their career they didn't like, and they go on and they do other things. I talked to a few weeks ago, as an example, the site commander of Waco for the FBI, who made the calls to go in and basically burn. There's always debate whether they burn the place to the ground or whether the Branch Davidians, David Koresh's Branch Davidians burned it to the ground or Koresh burned it to the ground. But nonetheless, I think 25 kids were killed. I talked to the FBI agent who was in charge of the whole thing, and he has regrets about it. He's been spending his retirement years, I think he's in his 70s now, working with like big brother situations, trying to help older kids, like teenagers and things like that, who don't have parents, and trying to give them some direction. He's not doing it because, you know, that he doesn't have anything else to do with his free time. I know why he's doing it, because he feels guilty about things. He's trying to give back. He's on a vision quest. Try to right some wrongs before you cross over into the next world or afterlife, however your religious dogma may dictate where you're going after you pass on. That's what we thought about Barr. That's what we're hearing. He's coming back. He's on a vision quest. But it looks like he's not coming to fix things the right way, but instead he's coming to be the fixer. And he's brought fucking decades of experience of twisting things up, manipulating, spin, and an incredible knowledge of the legal system. I've said this too, and this might be controversial, but I'll say it. I think what he did to Mike Flynn is one of the most dastardly things I've ever seen in politics. Now, people out there saying, what did Barr do to Flynn? People are going to say, Barr walked away from Flynn and said, the Justice Department doesn't want to have anything to do with this, and we're dropping our charges, we're dropping our cases against Flynn, right? But did the case against Flynn go away? No, it didn't go away. It's still going on, okay? But what Barr, the political cash, or cachet, however you want to pronounce it, that he gained from this is that he was able to distance himself and the White House from what was going on with Flynn. All the while, it was set up in the background that the judicial system, the district court in D.C., the federal bench, would then pursue the case, acting de facto as the Justice Department. These deals are set up behind the scenes. No one's written about this. No one talks about this. You don't think that happened? You think all of a sudden Barr just decided, yeah, we're just going to let this go. He was already told by these guys, go ahead and let it go. You guys can look good, right? That the best, unprecedented, Judge Sullivan was going to basically become the Justice Department and keep trying to railroad Flynn. These are deals that are cut, man. You have to realize that. People you're listening to out there telling you this stuff have no fucking clue what they're talking about. I talk to federal prosecutors that don't know this stuff. Low-level guys. You think a guy like Kleinsmith really knows what's going on? You think Kleinsmith is going to rat anybody out? You think a guy who's been at the FBI for 4 years? How high does his access go? You think his access goes to Biden and Obama and Comey? No. Get the fuck out of here. 4 years? He doesn't even get a sniff. It's if he wasn't a lawyer, he wouldn't have been on those cases at all. You have to look at all these things. So even when Barr is really screwing Flynn behind the scenes, it's like master scheme. And you have to understand this by thinking outside the box. This is where you survive in D.C., thinking outside the box. I'm always outside the box because that's where, this is where you survive in D.C. Everything's outside the box. Nothing is what you think it is. And if Barr is acting in some nefarious way, this is like some kind of a justice legal Picasso painting a portrait. It's one of the best games I've ever seen. You know why it's so good? He's got so many people convinced. He's got so many people fooled that he's not doing it. You really have to be an artist to achieve that. I don't know if you watched the movie. Talked about it again last night. Man on Fire with Denzel Washington. There's a line in there where Christopher Walken is talking about some people are good with food. Some people are artists. They can paint. And he's talking about Denzel, who was he was a hitman, basically, for the government. Contract killer. He says, this guy's art is death. He's talking about Black Ops. It comes to mind. And I think it's, if you've seen the movie, you know what I'm talking about. It's a good scene. Barr's art is deceit. If it turns out this way, and Kleinsmith and maybe a couple, one, two, three, who cares if they're low-level guys? Are the only ones that go down for this? This is a masterpiece conducted and painted by William Barr. It's really something to behold from the other side. If you're a connoisseur of political strategy and subterfuge and things like that, and here's the kicker. By the time we figure out what the hell happened, whether this was an op, whether it was legit, by the time we figured it out, Barr and his clan is going to already have ridden off into the sunset after he's done what he was supposed to do, which is protect people, which is what he's done his whole career. You look at his history, I think it's podcast number two. Podcast number one we did about Barr's history with Stefan Halper. Oh, my God. If Barr put this together as a scheme to run out the clock and protect all these guys, he'll be a fucking legend in D.C. for protecting these guys. A deep state legend. And he'll be rewarded, well rewarded, wherever he goes. I mean, they never... These folks never retire. They end up in some law firm and they make a lot of money. He has the potential here. If this is what he's doing to set his family up for decades, he'll never he'll be loaded. Maybe that's the game. Maybe the game in D.C. is get as much as you can for you and yours. There's nothing else. It's so, they realize it's so fucked up. Nothing else matters. So you got to get what you can get. This is a guy, you know, who was Poppy Bush's man. Fixed a lot of things for Poppy Bush, including getting Neil Bush, George Bush's son, getting him a get-out-of-jail-free card when Neil fleeced Silverado's savings and loan in Texas in the savings and loan scandal. And guess who else fleeced banks? Stefan Halper. Nobody went to jail. They were raising money for Ollie North Defense Fund. They were taking money from Ollie North's Defense Fund, and they were buying weapons for the Contras. And guess what? Nobody went to jail. And Barr was the attorney general. Take another drink. And he was also outside counsel for the CIA. And you guys think he's on your side? Hey, I'm a news consumer too. I have openly wished, like I said, that I'm wrong about this, but I have an obligation from what we know, what we're being told, to share this with you. And I'm not kissing Barr's ass saying he's some kind of a genius. I don't think he's like some mad genius on a good side, but man, he really is. If this is an operation to protect people and run out the clock and get major pieces off the chessboard like Biden and Obama that we're talking about, boy, that's a large departure from what you thought and what you've been told in the media. And then why have you been told this in the media if it's true? Think about that. We'll get into that in a minute. This is a scary thing. Barr just doesn't even care. He's just doing it right out in the open. If you're confused out there, let me break it down. An easy way for folks out there to understand this is that these people like Barr and these players in the Beltway and in D.C., these major names, they don't see things the same way that we see things out here. Like, to us, right and wrong is very black and white. To us. To them, it's gray. There are no definitive lines between right and wrong. Everything's blurred because they can manipulate the system when they break a law. They can twist the system through their contacts and also through their ability to change laws to make whatever they did that was illegal to make it legal just simply by ignoring it. I mean, if Barr doesn't come after you, who in the country is going to come after you? He's the Justice Department. If he protects you and gives you a license to break the law, you have a license to break the law. It's really a different way of looking at things. So you're really dealing with two different fucking factions here. We see things one way. They, the elites, the haves, we're the have-nots, see things another way. And they're convinced their way is right. And we are convinced that our way is right. Truth, justice, the American way. This is literally a battle of good versus evil and a battle of the haves versus the have-nots. This is the underbelly. The underbelly and the underlying fucking tug of war that has this nation screwed up. Because the folks that are in charge don't think they're doing anything wrong. So even if this crew is short on morals, they're morally bankrupt, they're going to still do things their way because there's money in it. Everybody's doing it in D.C. and they're getting away with it. So why not do it? The bad news is it's affecting our lives. Look at COVID-19. I don't care. There's people out there I know they're going to say, you're out on a limb here. I think you're way off. Let's just take a look at some of the facts. Some of the behaviorisms, some of the mannerisms, some of the character recently of Barr. He goes on TV, does these interviews with like Maria Bartiromo and all these people talking about, oh, there was major injustices. But nothing ever happens. He doesn't do anything. He just gets the sound bites. He drives the news cycle. Everybody drives the news cycle, and then it's another wave of hope. that these television stations can sell you another 2 or 3 days. Oh, Barr commented, he said it was a scandal. Who gives a shit what he said? Do something about it, right? Actions speak louder than words. Our moms told us that. He says one thing and everybody goes nuts. They retweet it. He's like waving a laser in front of a bunch of kittens. All the kittens are running around. They're all fired up on media catnip from watching Fox and Hannity. They follow this laser around. They jump around. This guy could have indicted McCabe a long time ago, literally 2 or 3 months after he got into office. That's it. That's a year ago, well over a year ago. It's a slam dunk. You could indict McCabe on anything. There's no reason for fucking Durham. There's no reason for all this other stuff. You put an indictment together. You got him by the balls lying 4 different times, plus everything else he was doing. Why hasn't he been indicted? He didn't do it. He could have put McCabe in jail a couple months, or started the process of putting him in jail a couple months after he took the post as Attorney General. So what does that tell you? McCabe is a close ally of the Clintons. Now, Barr's already covered for the Clintons. He's already covered for the Clinton Foundation. Gone to great lengths to protect them. Why wouldn't he do the same for McCabe? If he's protecting the Clintons, wouldn't he protect McCabe? You have to think about this. These people are elite for a reason. They think we're out here that we're leeches. They are literally proving that they are above the fray. You have to think, why? And, you know, you have to have an open mind here, because it literally goes against everything you're being told on a regular basis. Actually, you're not even being told, you're being brainwashed. You're being brainwashed that something's going to happen. You're waiting. You know what's dangerous about waiting? People say there's a plan, don't do anything. It's all part of the plan. It's all going to work out. Think about if you were still waiting, if people were still waiting for the plan, waiting for things to work out in the 1700s. You'd be having tea every day. And crumpets, biscuits, whatever the hell they eat, at 2 p.m. or 1 p.m. There would be no America. This would be London West. If somebody in the 1700s said, don't do anything, it's all going to work out. Really? You think that that's really the way things work in life? Don't address the major problems you have in life and they'll just work themselves out? Good luck with that. So the whole point of this is to try to tell folks what's going on. And I'm still going to do that because it's the right thing to do. You also have to look at something only someone who's been on the inside with these old timers knows because I came up with old timers, guys who taught me, intel guys, agency guys, bureau guys, who came up and they told me, you never do another guy. You never. Somebody in the fraternity, in the intel fraternity, you wouldn't necessarily indict them. You make things go away. You always have their back. Now, things are different now. For people in this in their 20s, 30s, and 40s, it's different. And if you're in your 50s or mid-50s, you're right on that line when things begin to change. But if you're older than 50, or, you know, we'll just call 50 as a cutoff. If you're older than 50 and you have been in this for a while, you're going to protect your people. That's the name, because that's the way you came up. I talked about it earlier. If I had time to get into this, it's a culture thing. Okay. Now everybody rats you out. The kids that come in, they'll rat you out, try to climb the ladder by ratting you out. In the old days, if you're working with a crew, task force, or whatever the hell, partner, and the partner got jammed up and did something stupid, you would literally cover for your partner or your partners or your crew members. And you'd even lie to make sure nothing happened to their job. Everybody protected everybody. This is a cultural thing. Now, it's gone. It's a lost art. It's gone. But it still resonates, and it's still practiced by the old-timers. And Barr came up in that same situation. He's an old-timer, right? This is how they work. So if you think that he's going to go against the fray and put these other guys in jail, like Biden, you don't think Barr and Biden are good friends? You're kidding yourself. Barr is going to protect his people. At some point, with what I'm describing, it's not even his fault. It's the way he was brought up. And I'm not making excuses. I'm just trying to point out that this is a cultural thing, the way that you're raised in intel, the way that you're raised in the system and justice, how you climb. Don't do it by stabbing people overtly in the back. Sure, you could do it covertly in the back, right? But you don't work people to the point where, you know, they end up in jail. That's almost unheard of. And don't forget, guys like Strzok's dad is an agency guy. Long-time agency guy. And Bill Barr's affiliation with the agency, the CIA. There's a lot of blood going on here. You think Bill Barr's going to do Strzok's kid? You have to look at all this stuff. You have to understand the culture. It's really important. It really is, because that now you're inside people's heads. Now it's not even a... You don't even have to work sources in many of these instances. The younger guys don't have this. They're all rats. But there's a such thing called old school, and Barr's an old school guy. I grew up with these guys in intel in my 20s when I left journalism. These guys teach you never fucking rat somebody out. Never do a cop. You don't do other guys. Old school way. Protect each other. It certainly wouldn't knock somebody out of a job and put them in prison. That was almost unheard of back in the day. And you know what? They see that as the way. That's the better way. Like I said, they see the game differently. They see the rules differently, the elites. So there's another class. These are the intel elites. They've been around. It's like a Sanhedrin. They've been around. They think they know what's better. And that the old system works better than the new system, that's based on rats and tattletaling and all this stuff. And in many cases, it does. So you have to look at the culture. And part of that culture, I have to tell you, when you see these guys on TV, at like a bars in front of the Senate or House committee, and they're exchanging barbs, going back and forth, and it looks contentious. You know what these guys do afterwards? They go out drinking, they pat each other on the back, and they say, yeah, I had to make it look good. We're still tight there. Everything's good. Oh, yeah, no, nothing to worry about. We put on a good show. It's about the show. You have to understand this. It's all part of a show. And guys like Barr and these old school guys, they're beholden by almost like a set of values. Like it's a fraternity or something. Something similar to La Cosa Nostra. You don't rat on each other. Never rat. Similar to that. It has tenets in that as well. In that type of an organization. Almost a cartel-like organization. Where loyalty is paramount. And we don't do each other. We don't screw each other. Because, you know why? Because everybody's got dirt on everybody else. You screw one guy, he could screw you. And it's just better if you're... if you have everybody's back in the old days. And I think we're seeing that now. We're seeing that. Also, probably with a guy like Ray, although he's right on the line age-wise, but if he came up through Mueller and these guys and Barr and Comey, you see that. These guys literally protect each other. They do. You don't think Comey protected Clinton? The Clintons? Just like Barr did? Are you seeing a pattern here? The protection racket pattern? I hope you're getting something from this, man. This is fuck. I'm Rumpelstiltskin out here. I'm spinning gold. It's unbelievable. I mean, years it's taken me to get to this level. Years of watching this, studying it, and knowing people and working in it. trying to get you above the fray of these media people who are selling you out on a nightly basis. It's really something else. It's really something else. And I'm doing that because, listen, and I say this with some level of confidence, as I always do. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But in the final analysis, because time is the ultimate judge here. Time will decide who's right and who's wrong and who goes to jail and who doesn't. But no matter what, you're still being lied to by these people. It's been 4 years, and all you have is a patsy who pleaded guilty to a shit charge, might do 2 weeks in prison. That's not justice for the level of deceit and crimes the FBI has done, as well as DOJ, guys like Orr, etc. Okay? So based on that, after all this is said and done, and most of it might be said and done after the election, one way or the other, you're going to need a place to land after you've been deceived to, whatever. You've been deceived for so long. And you need to get away from these people that are doing that. Because they're not going to stop deceiving you if there's money in it, the media, the right-wing media, the personalities on TV. They won't do it. They won't stop. They'll sell you out time and time again because they see you as a commodity that can be lied to, and they think you're stupid. And this is how they view you. You're a piece of meat. I understand it. I've been in that game too. But the people out there, you guys, your friends, many of you guys are already in the know. You're off to a great start. And some of you are very advanced on understanding these schemes. But most of the people out there are going to need a place to land when it all fucking implodes. And it comes out that the bill of goods you were sold was built on total bullshit, fueled by money and the media. It's unfortunate. People should keep that in mind after the election, especially. You should reassess your sources you use for information and get away from these people who are literally paid to deceive you. And they make a whole hell of a lot of money. Way more money than I do. But guess what? I can sleep pretty good at night. I sleep like a baby, except on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. I don't sleep much at all. I mean, if I wanted to play that game too, most of the people in the right-wing media, forget about the left-wing media, they got it down to a science, what I'm talking about, the same stuff. I could guarantee you I could make a lot more money. I was one of the best in mainstream media twisting things when I was, because you're taught to do that way if you want to get ahead, when I was in my 20s. I was already at a fucking Zen level, winning awards and if I stayed in that, God, I wouldn't even have a soul left. Thank God I got out of that. Man, time flies. Sometimes I think I'm here for a reason. At some point, you're going to have to stop going back to these people who are lying to you. The fact that you keep returning to them and getting bad information is complete insanity. There's a need for you, especially now with COVID-19 and everything going on with your families and all this stuff. There's a need for you to develop sharper sources of intel. As a news consumer, as a consumer of intelligence, we all are that. Whether you realize it or not, this is why you're here. This is why you're listening, to learn. Sometimes I go into my professor mode. I think that's when I'm the most effective. It's great to have a good time and joke around and fuck around on the pain in the mornings, but get down to brass tacks on like today. I had 3 guests I wanted to do. One was Marie Albanese, 2 other surprise guests. We'll table them because I just wanted to get this out. I just wanted to say what I needed to say and explain the intel that was coming in and get this out and focus directly on that on the Big Wednesday podcast. And we've done that. And we appreciate you sticking with us and taking this information and use it to balance the information that you're hearing from the other side, which is beyond lopsided, as I've said. You can trust people but verify. Reagan said that. Trust but verify. You should do that with me too. And the way you do that is you just wait. You see who was right. In many instances, we're all spectators out here. So we wait. But we take the information and we try to base educated decisions. Is this person trustworthy? Is a guy like Barr trustworthy? That's a decision you have to make. If you think he is, why? Why do you think he is? Like I said, simple question. What has he done to benefit the chances of Trump getting reelected? And weigh that against what he hasn't done that has worked to the detriment of Trump's base, who were expecting much more from the Attorney General of the United States, especially after the debacle of Jeff Sessions. But we appreciate your support out here. Patreon.com/TruePundit. Subscribestar.com/TruePundit. You know, the folks who are subscribers on those subscriber-only platforms, in many cases, they're the lifeblood of this entire operation. And I can't go one show without thanking them multiple times for their patronage. And if you got a couple extra bucks and you can swing it, hey, we'll put it to good use, baby. We'll stretch the hell out of it. Keep doing what we're doing. Keep bringing the heat. This is time as journalists where we have to bring the heat. And we can't hold much back. So we appreciate. And we're not funded by millionaires and billionaires. We made that patently clear. Most people are in this business. They are, or they're funded by some Chinese offshoot or some anti-Chinese offshoot. It's like, it's scary. It's scary. The money behind these right-wing media organizations is really, that's one of the reasons we stay independent. We stay away from these people because we know, we do all the research. Like I said, we know who we're dealing with. We know the skeletons. We make it our business to know. You know why? That's what we do. That's what we've done for years. We dig dirt. We're good at it. So, as I say at the end of every show, oh yeah, I'm supposed to tell you to share this. If you think it's insightful and it's going to help somebody, maybe get to another intellectual plateau when it comes to politics, when it comes to what's going on in national security, feel free to share it. There'll be some links on our our social media. Will have some links on the stories we write out of this, etc. Feel free to share those. And people can click on the links and get to the podcast from there. We appreciate that. We'll have that on Twitter probably in a few hours. So appreciate your support. We really do. And as I say at the end of every show, take care and God bless. Oh, get on up. Trouble to turn into a struggle halfway across Alabama. Well, a hound broke down and left us all stranded in downtown Birmingham. Well, right away I bought me a through train ticket right across Mississippi clean. I was on that midnight flyer out of Birmingham smoking in the New Orleans. Somebody help me get out of Louisiana, just help me get to Houston town. There are people there who care a little about me and I won't let the poor boy down. Yeah.
I'm a